Good morning. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is a verse that you're probably familiar with. I would ask, if you will, to go ahead and turn to James chapter 3, verse 17. I chose to just say it to begin with, but I also want to go here and together read through it, because as we begin this morning, what I'd like for us to do and for this to occur is just kind of to begin to settle in and think about the words of this verse. What it does is it brings to mind the idea of wisdom from above, but it details eight different things that this wisdom from above would involve. It also goes on, though, we find out that this is not just a description of wisdom, but this is a description of you. And this is a description of me when we embrace wisdom from above. And that means it's not just a theory about wisdom from above, but it's the reality of who you are and who I am when the wisdom from above is a part of our lives. We remember from earlier in the book, James had also written about looking into the perfect law of liberty. And that's what this is today. As we look into James, we're going to start with James chapter 3, verse 17. We are looking into the perfect law of liberty. And as we look into this, we see how we should be. And then we can also see a reflection in terms of how and who we are. So let's begin again in James chapter 3, verse 17. We'll read it. We'll make a couple of comments briefly as we go through. Several of you are reading from different versions, so I may just mention a word or two that you may have in your own Bible. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and then in the Old King James it says easy to be entreated. The New King James says willing to yield. One version says submissive. So those are the ideas that we have in terms of being willing to yield. We also have that we are full of mercy and full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, or as one version says, sincere. So this is the beginning focus. This is the very core of who we should be and of the wisdom that comes down from God. But now let's expand this back a little bit. Let's look at the context. Go back to verse 13. Let's read through 13 to 17, because here we're going to find earthly wisdom, which is compared to the heavenly wisdom that I just mentioned. Verse 13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, is sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And so what we're seeing here, we'll pick up a little bit with this. For instance, we've seen in verse 15, it's described as wisdom that is earthly and sensual. The idea that I understand from sensual is that it's natural. It's of the natural man. It's of the senses. It's of the passions and the emotions that we may have. And so what happens is, many of you have been parents at some point in your life. Well, and many of you still are parents. You may not have young children still at home, but you can picture and remember the ideas. If you have a 3-month-old, if you have a 3-year-old, if you have a 13-year-old, we'll just kind of start for a moment in terms of being born from infancy and growing into childhood. Is a child most naturally, what we've seen as far as wisdom from above, you can look at your child, and at times do you see a child that's very peaceable, very gentle, and willing to yield? At times you see that. But do you also see times of envy and times of self-will? And really, in terms of what is most natural, we find that it's the first. Which comes first then? Which comes first, the earthly wisdom or wisdom coming from above? Well, first we have the earthly wisdom. And the earthly wisdom here, then, two words that are used for that are envying and strife. Okay? And verse 16 speaks about envying and strife. Now, many of us are adults here, or we're past that smaller age. Have we necessarily grown out of that totally? Hopefully, we are growing past that. Many of us are Christians and have been Christians for a number of years, and hopefully the wisdom that is from above is very much a part of our lives. But at the same time, the idea of envy and strife, self-will, also rears its ugly head within us along the way. Because I would dare say that none of us here have 100% wisdom from above just yet. And so, as much as we may strive and along the way we may grow and mature, but earthly wisdom is still a part of what's around us. We're still a work in progress, basically. And I say some of these things because these are things that very much affect you and me on a daily basis. You start, and I'll just kind of briefly mention, starting with the smallest and going into the biggest. The smallest that I think of is our home, our individual home. Our immediate family, you might say. We'll move a little farther out to extended family. And then there's plenty of other areas we could look at. Your circle of friends, the people that you may spend time with, your peers. That may be also including work. It can include school. It can include a lot of different things. It includes church as we spend time here. Also, as we go to the larger things, it includes our nation, and it includes international things. And so taking the time to just think about this a little bit. What type of wisdom is there in this world? And including the wisdom that's from above. But let's start with our immediate family. Hopefully, within our immediate family, we have a good deal of peace. But we also know that there's going to be times that peace is not always there. Especially if I were to guess, if you have children, whether they, by the time they're at least two or three, they probably sometimes can start to quarrel with each other. Peace is not always a part of our home. And so, I mean, if you take for a moment just thinking about brothers and sisters themselves, they haven't necessarily grown out of envy at times. And they haven't grown out of the self-will. You know, children tend to be selfish at times, just like adults tend to be selfish. And so, you know, again, if you've got younger children, you on a regular basis, I would say, are dealing with the idea of this earthly wisdom, if you will, whether it's daily, whether it's weekly, monthly, maybe rarely. But even as adults, and say where there's only two people in your house anymore, in your immediate family, at least in the house, there's going to be some disagreement and strife on occasion, possibly. And that is because of the earthly part of us, the natural part of us, but hopefully we're growing past that as well. In general, the more wisdom we have from above, the less conflict we will have. But at the same time, we recognize that even if you are striving to live with wisdom from above, if you're with somebody else that's not, there still will be challenges. And so there's no guarantee at all that the more wisdom that is from above that you may have, that doesn't guarantee the less conflict either. And I won't go into too much detail, but I mean, within our extended families, I would say you don't have to go too far in your life, whether it's within your immediate family or into your extended family, and you know of strife that occurs. You can see it in others as well. You go into the workplace. You know, you can just think of the many different scenarios that you have in your own life. Whether that's you going to work each day, whether that's you enjoying peers that you have and relationships with them, groups of people. Whatever it is, you can see and you know that there's plenty of times that selfishness and envy are a part of the human nature. You know, I'm going to spend a moment just talking about the national level. and then international. Just kind of pointing out how permeated these things are. I don't know about you, but when I think of Washington, Washington, D.C., I don't think of a lot of peace and gentleness necessarily. There's bitter partisan politics involved. And what you have is you have two sides that if one, and I mean, I'm not trying to make any political type statements, I'm just trying to reflect reality as it exists in our country right now. Pretty much any Republican or any Democrat that says anything, as they say or do anything, is it measured against the possibility of them being reelected next time? Is it measured against the possibility of their party being in power? Are they, you know, and so the decisions they make and the things they do and the things they say aren't necessarily reflective of what's the best thing to do, but it's the best thing for the particular situation that they're in. Because no matter what they say, what is their opponent going to be doing? They're going to be watching it very, very, very closely. And anything they can say and hold over you later, they're going to hold that in an election. You know, we live in a challenging time. Politicians are trying to jump on a mistake that one person makes. And really, our government at this stage is all about politics rather than making the best solution. But what about what about internationally? I'm sure internationally people get along very, very well, right? What are the conflicts that are going on right now? Major conflicts. We were talking about Israel and Palestinians. Hamas, which is called by many a terrorist organization, are bombing each other right now. Is that wisdom from above or is that wisdom from beneath? The envy and the strife that we're talking about. When we talk about the strife that's going on in Ukraine, a government here versus the Russian-backed separatists, you could say. When you talk about in the Middle East, you've got the Sunnis and the Shiites that are fighting it out in Iraq and in those regions. Within Syria, you've got a civil war that's going on right now. And so I'm just kind of pointing out that whether we start at the smaller levels or we go to the largest of levels within our country, or I should say within our world, what do we see? Do we see the influence of the wisdom that is from above or the wisdom that is of this world? It's a part of the human nature. It is a part of the human life. And it's not a good part. But as part of the Christian life, while what we try to do is put away that nature as much as we can, and we try to rise above it. And that's the focus of where we will go in just a moment here. But what we're seeing is what is reality around us, and what can too often become a part of our own reality if we're not careful. But let's come back to James chapter 3, verse 17. We're going to look through some of these, and as we do, we're going to connect it back to other parts of the book of James as well. So let's start with James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Let's just talk a little bit about that. The wisdom that is from above. I'd like to come back to earlier in the book of James. Come back to James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. I'll just pick that one other phrase up. Let him ask it in faith. So this wisdom that is from above, back in chapter 1, we find that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What do you think it means when it says, if any of you lack wisdom? You know, I don't know how many people are here today, but I'm going to guess 50 to 60, somewhere in there. Of the 50 to 60 people who are here today, how many do you think lack wisdom? Do you think the majority of us have good wisdom and don't lack wisdom? Or do you think the majority of us lack wisdom? Well, at one time, I had kind of just read this and had thought, well, there's plenty of people that do have wisdom, and this is kind of just saying, if you lack wisdom, do this. But as we really stop and think about it, is that what it says at all? I think it's being nice in a sense, but all of us lack wisdom. I guess that wasn't a very nice statement, you might say, but it is a true statement. You know, I'll move away from spiritual things for a moment, but I'll just move into some regular things. if you're having some math homework problems and you call me, I'm a pretty good person to call for that. By this stage, calculus is kind of out of the question. It's been 20 years ago since I've taught or had it. But in general, there's lots of math questions, you can call me, and I have some wisdom, and I can help you. But I guarantee you, if your air conditioner is out, and it's 100 degrees outside, you don't want to call me. You know, I lack quite a bit of wisdom there. If your car is sitting on the side of the road, and you want to call me to come pick you up, feel free. If you want to call and ask me to come help you fix it, I'm not your guy. I lack wisdom in a lot of areas like that. And you probably lack wisdom in some areas there too. But also, as we move back to the spiritual, 100% of us, this verse applies to. We all lack wisdom in some way, shape, or form relating to spiritual things. So the first point I would make in relation to this verse, when it says, if any of you lack wisdom, the first thing to recognize is this verse is talking to me and to you. And therefore, what should we do? Let him ask of God. So, when we talk about wisdom that is from above, I would ask you and I would implore me and remind myself that one of the first things I need to do each day and each week on a regular basis, I would say that we need to pray to God for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He will give it to us. And we need to ask in faith. With this same thing in mind, come on down to chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Because why? Because you ask not. And then verse 3 says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. So here's something else to think about. You and I may lack some wisdom, and part of the reason we may lack is because we have not what? Asked. So again, just another point here that you and I need to ask for this wisdom. And as we ask, it's not so we can become higher up in our job. It's not to consume it on our lust. It's not to make more money. We are asking for wisdom, so it will truly be wisdom from above. Back to chapter 1, but also with the idea of what we're talking about here, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So we've talked about some about this wisdom and asking for it, but I also want to drop down to verse 17. Chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Well, look, there's another phrase about being from above. It's from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, nor shadow of turning. So remember how it said that wisdom from above is first what? Pure. To me, this helps to identify the idea of pure. Because with God, He is what? There is no variation. And there is no shadow of turning. If we look to any other source for wisdom, you know, if we look to a particular man for wisdom, there's going to be other men that may say, well, I don't know about that. That may not quite be true. Or we're going to find that that wisdom may change over the years. But with God, we see, because of its purity, that there is no variation with Him. It's not true today and another answer tomorrow, another answer on Wednesday, or another answer 20 years from now. But there is no variation, nor shadow of turning. What He has said is true, and it is enduring, and it is pure. Those are some of the things that I find valuable about that. Let's continue on. Verse 18. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. There's many things that we could say to continue on with the wisdom from above is first pure. And this relates to pure, but it goes on to relate to other things too. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. He is talking here, He is writing here to Christians. We are talking here, I believe, about the spiritual birth. We have been begotten again unto Him as Christians through His truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You know, we talked about wisdom of the earth, and we've talked about wisdom of from above. We are among wisdom from the earth all the time. As we shine as lights, as we gain this wisdom from above, we will shine as lights for Him. We will be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. It doesn't take any effort at all to have the wisdom of the world. But it takes our effort, it takes our determination and dedication to allow this wisdom that is from above to permeate within our lives. I'll just go on back to chapter 3, verse 17, and pick up a couple of the next phrases there. It's not only, this wisdom is from above, it is pure, but then it's also peaceable, it's gentle, and it's willing to yield, or easy to be entreated. That could be referred back to what I was just mentioning there in verse 18. But there's also plenty of other areas that we can relate that to as well. I want to make sure For instance, just as we notice, and I'm just kind of trying to intertwine a lot of different parts of James here. Many of you remember that James chapter 2, the last half of it, talks about faith. And not just faith, but faith with works. Okay? And what we're seeing here from James chapter 3, verse 17, we are seeing faith in action. We are seeing faith demonstrated when we are gentle, when we are willing to yield, when we are peaceable. These are aspects of faith in action. We also remember that in James chapter 3, the first part of that, the first half, is talking about our what? Our tongue. The tongue is hard to tame, we find. The tongue is hard to control. But as different things happen, and as we react to it, our tongue and the words that we use and the attitudes we choose to convey very much show whether we have wisdom from above or wisdom from the earth. Because with what we say, we can show that we are peaceable, we are gentle, and we are easy to be entreated or willing to yield. All of this, I think, and so what we're seeing is, this is not just one verse that's out here. This is the verse that's included within the context of some of the verses we had brought out in chapter 1, of faith brought out in chapter 2, of taming the tongue, which is brought out in chapter 3. All of these go very much along with it and are a part of it. I would also mention, and we'll just continue on with some of these, we see that not only is it peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. One other comment I might make about that is you and I should be willing to yield in a lot of ways. But also, are we always going to just kind of be wilt anytime somebody says something? Is there a time we need to stand strong? Very much. And that's what we've got. We know that the wisdom from above is first pure. God has given us wisdom. God has given us His Bible, His truth. As we are willing to yield, there are many areas that we should be willing to yield. But in terms of the truth, in terms of the Scripture, there are certainly things that we stand for, and stand for very strongly as well. As we go on, we find that this wisdom allows us to be full of mercy and good fruits. Speaking of mercy, what we find is, if we go back to chapter 2, verse 13, this is one verse that happens to mention mercy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to kind of include chapter 2. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 2, we're going to get into partiality in a minute. But if you remember, chapter 2 talks about two men coming into your assembly, one being dressed very well. A rich man comes in, dressed very well. A poor man comes in, not dressed as well. Does the natural tendency of the natural man, is it to be partial to one and not the other, possibly? And that's just one example. But we know that we are, as Christians, without partiality. And he's pointing out that if you do show favoritism toward the one, you are showing partiality. But also then, that's where I'll pick up with verse 13, you have also shown some forms of judgment. It says in verse 13, "For he shall have judgment without mercy, who has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment, or triumphs over judgment," as some versions say. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We need to be full of mercy with wisdom from it that is from above. Full of mercy and good fruits. course, when I think of good fruits, I think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. And you'll notice how they actually go along with several of the things that are mentioned here. If you think about the fruit of the Spirit and what's mentioned about wisdom from above. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those are encompassed here in this 17th verse as well. Being full of good fruits. We also had, as I've already gone ahead and mentioned, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Being sincere. When we say something, it's not as if we're doing it for show. When we say something, we will follow through on it. Truly being serving Christ as a Christian with this. Now, you and I both know that there's lots that could be said with this. We've, in a sense, just touched on a few things. But I have found, as I was deciding what lesson to bring, I have decided, this passage definitely stuck to me and struck me in a certain way that is very valuable for all of us. Think about this verse. Think about the idea of looking into the perfect law of liberty. Think about the challenges that you face each and every day, the circumstances that they are. You know, whether it's you personally that's dealing with it, or whether it's you that is having to be the problem or the solution, hopefully you're not the problem. But as a parent, you're helping to form your children in a certain way to be a solution there. As a co-worker, you're helping to form situations to become solutions. As you and I can take this wisdom from above to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation or nation or community. Not that the people around us are necessarily evil people at all. At the same time, if we have not committed ourselves to gaining knowledge from above, we simply fall prey to these knowledges, if you will, or this wisdom of the earth. And two things, again, that are mentioned here is the idea of envy and strife. But what I would encourage you to do then, if we were just kind of taking two or three main points that I would ask you to go away with, and that is you and I need to examine our life. As I mentioned a moment ago, we need to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. We have looked into the perfect law of liberty here. We have seen what we need to do. We have the opportunity to see where we actually are and make sure we are continuing to grow in this. We need to pray for this wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. May this be you and I as we go forward this week. I'll take this opportunity to conclude the lesson and offer the gospel invitation. You are here this morning, and some of you may have special needs, whether it be initial obedience of the gospel, confessing Christ as the Son of God, repenting and being baptized for to wash your sins away, or whether it be something else. Hopefully you will be stirred in your heart and your life to live for Him and to bring anything you may have. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.